If you're trying to be more green, you might outfit your home with energy-efficient appliances, install green light bulbs, and make sure to turn off the lights more often. But some people are going a lot farther. Instead of just retrofitting existing houses, they're building new, ultra-energy-efficient homes that require almost no heating, even on a cold winter day. We're talking about a so-called passive house, a super-insulated, airtight structure designed to minimize energy loss, which means it costs next to nothing to heat. And joining me now in the studio is Jordan Goldman. He's an engineer at Zero Energy Design in Boston, which designs these passive houses. Welcome.
Thank you.
So let's start with the definition, a passive house. What are we talking about?
So passive house, with a capital P and a capital H, is an imported energy standard that originated in Germany in the early 90s. Simply put, it's the most efficient or the most rigorous and stringent energy standard in the world. It focuses on greatly reducing the energy use of the house through super insulation, incredibly high performing windows, airtight building assembly, efficient heating, cooling, and hot water systems. And the result is a house that is between 80 and 90% more efficient than, you know, your average code built house.
How are these homes heated, and how much do they save compared to a conventional home heated with a conventional furnace?
The general rule of thumb is that you'll save about 90% on your heating. How the house gets its heat, that might differ from passive house to passive house. Because the houses are so efficient and so well insulated, the heating requirement is minuscule. So conventional systems often don't apply. Air source heat pumps, for example, are common in passive house. They operate on electricity, and they're essentially an air conditioner in reverse. They take heat from the air outside, even at 0.5 degrees Fahrenheit outdoor temperature, and transfer it to the indoor air.
So the idea of a big furnace sitting in the basement with ductwork going all the way up two or three floors, that's just not part
absolutely
of this design.
Absolutely obsolete.
Wow.
And a big part of the financial viability of a strategy such as passive house is that, yes, you invest in the envelope, in the insulation and the windows, but your financial outlay for heating systems is dramatically decreased.
So you and I are sitting in a studio in Boston. This is a part of the world where a month or two from now, as you know, we could have 0 degree days, even colder, the
sure.
wind howling. It can be pretty unpleasant. A passive house would be warm and cozy on a cold winter day in New England?
Without a doubt. You know, you wouldn't even notice your heating system kick on. It probably would be operating, but it's such a slow transition. The house maintains its temperature so well because it's so well insulated. Because it's airtight, there are no drafts. So in addition to being very energy efficient, it's also amazingly comfortable. There are no differences in temperature between one room and the next, whether you're near a window or in the middle of the room. And you know, the net result is high efficiency and high comfort.
So if I had a passive house, am I sacrificing anything in terms of design or comfort, consumption habits?
You know, I think what's important for the, quote, design movement is that we need to sell this idea that you don't need to sacrifice anything. What the individual does is sort of irrelevant. The house is going to keep on keeping on. And so if you like your thermostat at 76 in the winter, of course you'll use more energy than if you like it at 66. Mm. But you're still saving much more energy than in a conventionally built home.
I see. So now a passive house, it's going to require special design, special architects, maybe even an engineer like you. I gather we're talking about more cost to build one of these, even if it's going to be a lot more efficient to maintain.
It really requires a sort of integrative design strategy. From the beginning, you're designing the house with the idea that you're trying to meet this energy standard. And ideally, you've got the engineer or the passive house consultant involved early on so that you can sort of nip certain design problems in the bud. So having you'll spend extra money on the consultant up front, but it'll make the whole design process much smoother.
So what are we talking, though, about in terms of cost? If I'm going to be saving 90% on my heating bills from here until the end of time, that's terrific. Give me a sense of what it costs to build one of these houses relative to a conventional house.
Relative to a conventional house, I would say on average you're talking about a 10% incremental cost. It's tough to really apply that across the board for a couple reasons. First is that passive houses are still very uncommon in this country. The economy is a scale and there's still a learning curve for builders, and so that adds to cost, you know, versus, let's say, in Europe where they've been building to the passive house standard for years. It also depends on the budget of your own house. If you're building a very expensive house with fancy finishes, the incremental cost of passive house is going to be a smaller percentage relative, versus if you have a very bare bones house with simple finishes, then the energy efficiency components will correspondingly be a greater percentage. percentage.
You mentioned that they've been building to the passive house standards in Europe for quite a while. How developed is the passive house industry in Europe, and why are the Europeans so far ahead of us?
A lot of these advanced building strategies, they originated in North America. This side of the Atlantic invented all these strategies, but it was the Europeans who took them and ran with them, didn't go back to their old habits. In Europe, I think there's about 15 or 20,000 homes that have been built to the passive house standard. They've got a lot of passive house certified products. One of the challenges for people building passive houses in this country is that some of the best products need to be imported.
So how many have been built in this country compared to that number in Europe?
Probably on the order of 30, 40.
Oh, 30 or 40. So we're we're really in the infancy here.
On the order of dozens. You know, if you include all the projects that are in the works and on the books and in construction, maybe you're upwards of close to 100. But absolutely, we are in the infancy. The Passive House Institute of the U.S. only got started here in 2007 or so.
So what has to happen in the U.S. to make the Passive House really take off?
Well, I think that every year there's increasing awareness of the environmental effects of excessive energy use. Energy codes are always getting more stringent every year. So as the sort of what we call the baseline, what conventional construction is, that's getting better and better. So that means you need to do less and less over time to actually get to the passive house standard. So it's, as time goes on, it'll be less and less of a jump. I think it's a matter of, you know, sort of spreading the word, making people aware that this style of building is out there, because a lot of people just aren't aware.
And what about using the passive house technology to build larger commercial spaces? Is that something that's feasible?
Yeah, I mean, if you look to Europe, you know, they've adopted passive house as a great strategy for schools. You know, additional benefits of passive house are very high levels of indoor air quality, very healthy places to be. So it's a natural fit for a school where you've got young children there for many hours of the day. Dormitories as well, office buildings as well. I'm personally involved in a project in Lower Manhattan where we're designing an art center, about 8,000 square feet, to the passive house standard. Truth be told, the majority of buildings are residences, but there's no reason why it couldn't be applied to an industrial building, a commercial building, an institutional building, etc.
So I'm intrigued that you talk about the passive houses as offering high levels of indoor air quality. And I'm just going to sort of display my ignorance, but when I sort of think about this, I'm thinking of a building that's so sealed up and so super insulated that there'd be a danger of the air becoming stagnant.
Right. I mean, that's quite astute of you. The way you get around that is through a constant source of fresh air ventilation. Every passive house, without exception, needs fresh air ventilation.
I see.
It's a mechanical means of bringing in fresh air and exhausting the stale air to the outside. Because you're right, you seal up the house, air can't flow between inside and out, so you need to bring in this fresh air. The benefit of having mechanical ventilation is that you control the point where you bring it in, you can filter it, and you can condition it. You can heat it or cool it.
Finally, what do you expect to see? I mean, in 10 years, Jordan Goldman expects that X percentage of the houses built in the U.S. are going to be built to this standard, or in 25 years. I mean, what and when do you expect to see it?
I would say that over the next 10 years, it'll start becoming a sort of mainstream concept. Do I think that it'll become the norm within that time? Probably not. I think that the construction industry can keep up as quickly, historically, you know, for better or for worse. But I think that over the next 10 to 25 years, it'll become more mainstream, more common, but also the average level of construction quality is going to increase in terms of energy efficiency.
Thanks for coming in and talking about this.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Fascinating stuff. That's Jordan Goldman. He's an engineer at Zero Energy Design in Boston, and he's been talking to us about the super energy efficient passive house.